It was 40 years ago today that the conflict, which came to be known as the Six-Day War, began. Well, this week we're looking at the legacy of that Arab-Israeli war, which fundamentally reshaped the Middle East. Today we go to East Jerusalem. Shortly after the fighting ended, Israel annexed East Jerusalem in a highly controversial move that's still not recognized internationally. Yet while East Jerusalem's Palestinian residents abhor Israeli rule, many prefer Israeli medical and other services and remain wary of the Palestinian Authority. From Jerusalem, NPR's Eric Westerfeld reports.
When war broke out on the 5th of June 1967, the authorities in Jordanian-controlled East Jerusalem had made no emergency provisions for war. No medical or food supplies had been stockpiled. No bomb shelters had been built for civilians. Hawla Daoud was 11 years old then. She lived where she still does, in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of the city. Her rented house sits right next to what used to be the fence line, dividing Israeli West Jerusalem from the Jordanian-controlled East.
I remember when the war started, all the shooting. Our family didn't have a shelter. We didn't know where to go or what to do. The neighbors started talking about hiding in a cave in the orchard that was right over there, not far from our house.
Afraid and hungry, Hawla Daoud says her family and six other families jammed into the tiny cave while the fighting raged around them. Jordanian soldiers retreated as Israeli paratroopers swept through the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood.
We only had bread and water in the cave. We came out after 8 days, and I went to see what was inside the Jordanian army barracks nearby. It was quiet. I'll never forget. I saw two dead Jordanian soldiers inside the barracks.
By the end of June 1967, just 3 weeks after the war, Israel annexed East Jerusalem and offered citizenship rights to Palestinians. Most refused. Today, virtually all of the Palestinians living in East Jerusalem have residency rights, but cannot vote in parliamentary elections that determine Israel's national government. Hawla says back in 67, many Palestinians were unsure what to do.
Some of the neighbors fled to Jordan. But I remember very well my father and mother saying, "No way. Nothing will push us out of Jerusalem."
In many ways, the Daoud family's struggles are emblematic of the problems faced by many Palestinians in the city since the 67 war. She and her husband, 60-year-old Abed Sheikh, currently pay rent for their modest home to the Custodian for Absentee Properties, a division of the Israeli Finance Ministry. That's because their rented house is caught up in a long-running ownership dispute between Jewish and Palestinian families. As the land dispute ricocheted through the Israeli courts, the Daoud family grew increasingly worried about the precarious status of their rental. So in the late 90s, family members pooled their money and began to build a place of their own in Issawiya, an East Jerusalem Arab neighborhood closer to the West Bank. Abed steps over a rusted bed frame, a broken bathtub, and other trashed remains of their Issawiya home. 1 year after it was built, the Israeli authorities declared the house illegal. The Daouds hadn't gotten the proper building permits. Israeli bulldozers flattened the home.
My sons and I worked 5 years in order to save money to build this house, and they came and demolished it in a minute. They crushed our future in a minute.
Abed works in construction, and many of his jobs are in the city's Jewish neighborhoods. He was renovating the home of an Israeli police officer when the demolition order came. In an ironic twist, that policeman happened to oversee the demolition of Abed's home.
He said, "I'm sorry, I have to implement the orders." He could do nothing.
Abed chain smokes and slowly sips from a tiny cup of strong Arabic coffee one of his old neighbors has brought out. "This place was my insurance in case we ever get evicted," he says. "Now what do I do?" According to a recent World Bank report, between 1999 and 2003, Israel demolished 157 Palestinian-owned buildings in East Jerusalem after declaring them illegal. The World Bank called it a discriminatory practice that has led to housing shortages and stymied business and employment opportunities throughout East Jerusalem. After their home in Issawiya was demolished, the Daouds were disillusioned about their future in East Jerusalem, so they pooled what little money they had left and bought a small piece of land in Anata, a village next to Jerusalem, just inside the West Bank. You see that land and concrete? They're digging the wall, Abbott says, pointing through a barbed wire fence to a cement foundation on a small grassy hill. Israeli construction equipment sits nearby. His land is about to be cut off from East Jerusalem, and Abbott isn't allowed to build there. The property, it turns out, is too close to the separation barrier, a 460-mile-long mix of fencing and cement walls that Israel is building in and around the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Israel says the fence is necessary to stop suicide bombers and other Palestinian attacks in Israel. For Abbott, the barrier was his family's final setback.
The land is useless now. It's too close to the wall. They won't let me build.
Abbott's daughter, Fatain, says even if the Israelis allowed them to build in the occupied West Bank, the family can't risk getting cut off from Jerusalem or losing their Jerusalem residency permits. Her mother, Hawla, needs dialysis several times a week for a kidney disease. Fatain says her mother prefers the Israeli medical care she gets in Jerusalem.
If we build that house behind the wall, it will be very difficult to get to the hospital or get to our work. We will lose those rights.
In 2006, Israel granted more than 81,000 entry permits for Palestinians to receive medical care in Israel. Asked if her family would prefer to be under the Palestinian Authority, Fatain mostly dodges the question. We are troubled by all the political confusion in the Palestinian Authority, she says. Israeli writer Gershom Gorenberg says those conflicting feelings are widespread among East Jerusalemites who are living under what he calls occupation deluxe.
They are very, very resentful of their inequality, of harassment by the Israeli bureaucracy, and at the same time they're terrified very often of the idea of being under the rule of the Palestinian Authority, because the Palestinian Authority is so corrupt, because it's much poorer, because their livelihoods are already dependent on the Israeli economy. If there were really a plebiscite in East Jerusalem on what to do next, I don't think anybody really knows how that would come out.
Back in Issawiya, amid the rubble of his home, Abed Eshek lights another cigarette and mutters, "Halas, it's finished. We've tried twice. I have no more money to risk. My priority now," Abed says, "is just to keep my family together." Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Jerusalem.
And you can read part one of our series and see maps showing how the region changed after the Six-Day War by going to npr.org. Tomorrow, longtime residents of West Jerusalem reflect on their city 40 years after reunification.